Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Nun Ches in Bechara. It's just a short couple of days to go. Shabbos, God willing, we're going to finish the Masechta on Shabbos. Sunday begins the Erchin. We are back on Nun Zayin Amud Beis, and we're right before the Mishnah. Just a little bit of Agada to go before we get to the new Sugya and really today's topic. We quoted yesterday a Tana who I don't hear that often throughout Shas. Rabbi Yishmael ben Sasriel Me'arkas Levena. Okay, he sounds Sephardic, which, right. I'm saying if you know anything, you'll know that that was just probably the most ridiculous statement a person can make. But the he made a statement, and through that statement, we understand one of the opinions of the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah had a debate in terms of. Not a debate. I'm sorry. Everyone agrees to the halacha. You can't yasam. If you have an orphaned animal, it is not subject to the laws of Maisa Behema. It's exempt. It has a patur. The Torah says tachas, and we have a gzereshav of tachas, and elsewhere we know it's tachas imo. So it has to be, it has to have a mother. Now, it has to have a mother, right? You're supposed to keep tabs, like, throughout the whole year and make sure that, you know, mother's alive and doing well and so forth and so on. And no. In other words, it had to have been born and mother was alive during the birth. However, if, God forbid, the mother dies prior to the animal coming out, so the animal now is halachically, legally a yasam, and therefore exempt from the mitzvah of Maisa Behema. Good. Then in the Mishnah, we were exposed to a different opinion. Not really. Yeah, let's say, call it a different opinion. And it belongs to Rabbi Yoshua, is that if the mother was shechted before the baby comes out, but the baby's still wrapped and enveloped in the hide of the mother, meaning the mother was not flayed prior to the baby coming out, so then that baby's still considered tachas imo. The baby's not considered a yasom. And the Gemara says, what? How do you understand that? But then the Gemara quotes this Tana, Rabbi Shmuel ben Sasriel, from the town of Arkas Levena, and he says, and he said this in front of Rabbi, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and he says, you know what our minhag is? Our minhag is that what we do is we take the hide of the animal that's dead, we wrap up the newborn baby, and the newborn baby, you want to explain it biologically, you want to explain it physiologically, you want to even explain it psychologically, you can go about it so many ways, but the point is that gave the baby chios, it gave the baby life. Okay, and the baby was able to now continue. And when Rebbe heard this, Rebbe said, oh my gosh, nizgala taima shel mishnasenu. Now I understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that as long as the mother has a hide, meaning mother doesn't have to be alive, but as the mother still has the hide, so the mother is considered, the baby is considered not a yasam. But now that I understand the minug of this place, now I have a better understanding of our Mishnah. Yesh lehem, I'm sorry, shel mishnasenu. Good, that's what we got to yesterday. And just a quick review of what we saw yesterday. Chazirin Shebim Kamenu. Now, I think this is a continuation of Rabbi Shmuel and talking about various minhagim and things that took place in the town they came from. So now he's talking about the chazir. Now, chazir here does not mean pig. Chazir, like from the word chazeret, right, on Pesach. Right, one of the things that are acceptable to eat as maror is chazeret. Okay, some sort of vegetable. After that, I can't help you. So the Chazer Shebem Kamenu Yesh Lam Shishim Ribui Klafim. It has folds in it. It has a lot of folds in it. 600,000. 600,000 folds in this vegetable. Beveis HaHemses Shalo. In the Beis Hemses. Now, you go back to your Chulin days. You remember Beis Hemses, one of the stomachs of the animal. Animal has a total. Ruminating animals has a total of four stomachs. The Beis Hemses is the one, is that stomach with all the folds inside of it, right? So the so this vegetable had folds similar to the one of the Beis Hemses of an animal. Okay, 600,000 folds. Okay, pamachas nafal erez echashim b'mkomeinu. There was another occasion where there was a tree that fell, a cedar tree that fell down. V'avru sheshesrei kronos al chudo achas. 16 wagons were able to line up side by side along one of the limbs, one of the branches of the cedar tree. And again, he is basically highlighting that things from his town were big, right? The vegetables were big, the trees were big. Pam achas nafla beitzas bar yuchni, and finally the famous bar yuchni, the bird, which I don't know if we have, you know, if I can identify it. So the bird is referred to many times throughout Shas. Its egg that it produces was a sizable egg. You want to suggest an ostrich? It's fine. I really don't know. And the egg fell, and 60 cities were drowned in the sea, and 300 cedars broke. Right? You know, I know. Every time you see the number 300 in the Gemara, you can assume basically Guzma, it's an exaggeration. Right? As the 300 is like the Gemara's code for any time that it is providing some sort of Lashon Guzma, right? A language of exaggeration. So, Umishajile? Yeah? Yeah, right, correct. Correct. Huh? Only because Rabbi Yishmael went on to talk about how they used to wrap up the babies in the hides of the mother. So then, just as long as I'm sharing you about strange things that take place from where I come from, other strange things I could tell you about where I came from. The folds in the lettuce, the length of the cedar trees, and the egg of the bar yuchni. Well, Misha Ajile, now the Gemara here says, I just don't understand, how did the mother drop the egg? Vaksiv, kanaf renanim ne'elasa. Pasuk in Eov, Pasuk indicates that it takes care of its young. So, Rashi goes through a whole medrash. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Menachos. Anyway, so Amar Rav Ashi Ahu Muzrasa Havai. So the Gemara says very simply, the egg was it was like a scrambled egg. It wasn't, in other words, it was not fertilized, and so therefore there was really no point in the mother taking care of the egg, being that the egg was not going to really turn into a newborn, into a bird. Okay, that's Ad Kan Divrei Agadata. You want more on this? Turn to the back. See the Marsha. Yeah, he goes. He goes on about this. Okay, Shalosh Granos LaMaisa Behema. Okay, we start the new Mishnah now. Before we start the new Mishnah, let's make sure we understand Maisa Behema. Remember, Chadash Al Yashan is a big no-no, meaning that in Maisa Behema, your fiscal years have to be kept separate. Animals that are born this year cannot be counted with animals that are born last year. Animals that are born this year cannot be counted with animals that will be born next year. Just like in your accounting, in your world of accounting, all years have to be kept separate and individualized. In the world of Maisa Behema, Hu Adin, same thing. All your years have to be individualized. Good. When is Rosh Hashanah? Okay, every time you talk about a year, you want to know when the new fiscal year is, right? Every company operates with a fiscal year, not necessarily the one that follows January, December. That's your personal income. But what is the fiscal year when it comes to animals? So, answer, machlokas. Right. Big machlokas. Now, first Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. First Mishnah Rosh Hashanah brings down two basic opinions. One is Rosh Chodesh Elul, the other is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Now, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei also happens to be another important day on the Jewish calendar. That's what we call Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh Hashanah, as the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah points out, is only but one of four new years. Although, if you hold that the first day of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah Maisa Behema, so then it really comes out to be only three new years. But, okay, yeah, it's somewhat of an issue. But anyway, that's our basic storyline, okay? And that's a hard date, meaning whichever is the correct date, whether it be the first day of Elul or first day of Tishrei, that's a hard date. Meaning, you simply, if you have an animal born one day before and one day after, those animals need to be kept segregated la'olam va'ed. There's a prohibition, there's an issur in the Torah, not to blend those two together, not to count those two together. Okay? That's a starting point before we start this Mishnah. Now, after we start this Mishnah, now the Mishnah is going to teach us that even in the course of the year, there are basically like markers of the year. Three markers of the year. The Mishnah has an interesting language for it. It's called Guranos. Now, Guranos sounds like the English word granary. Basically, yeah, it's a borrowed term. It means basically granary. Now, we're not talking about produce over here. We're talking about animals. But as the Gemara is going to go on and discuss a little bit later, we like the idea of like, it's like Trumas HaMaestros. It's like the granaries of Trumas HaMaestros. Over the course of the year, there are going to be mile markers where basically, at this point in time, it's like a checkpoint over the course of the year. Meaning, here we get to the first mile marker of the year. You know what? Check your animals. See which animals are born over the course of this year. Do Meiser up until this point in time. Now, may Iker Hadin, according to the strict letter of the law, is that mile marker like a hard date? No, it's not. It is not a hard date. It is just simply it's a recommended date by the Chachamim. You know, it's hard to gauge how strong a recommendation it is, but it's a recommended date by the Chachamim that you really need to go into your pen and do a check and see how many animals are born. And if you have over 10, do Meister Behema right now. And the reason why you would like to do that, you'll see. The dates really revolve around the Shalosh Regalim, the three Yontifs. And by the three Yontifs, everyone's going to need an animal. Right, you're going up to Yerushalayim on the three Yontifs, and you're going to need to bring a Karban Ola, and you're going to need to bring a Shlamim, and you're going to need to bring Shalmei Simcha, and so you're going to be needing animals. So basically, a couple weeks in anticipation of the Yontif, you're basically going to now have all the farmers do Meiser Behema as a recommended date for everybody to now check their animals, do Meiser Behema, and now the rest of the animals will be sold to people in order to do the mitzvah of Karban Ola, Karban Shlamim, so forth and so on. That's the basic idea, and now we go through the details. Good. The Mishnah starts off, Shalosh Granos L'Maisa Behema. So there are three granos, okay, checkpoints. I guess that's my term. You'll love it or leave it. So, Beprosa Pesach, Prosa, it starts with Beprosa Cha, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So we start with Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is the easiest to remember because for him, it's the same time frame for every one of the Yontifs. 15 days before Pesach, 15 days before Shavuos, 15 days before Sukkot. Sukkot is, of course, referred to always as Chag. Right? That's the Mishnaic way to refer to Sukkot. So Div Rabbi Akiva, that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai Omer, so Ben Azai is going to argue. Now, if you listen carefully, you'll realize that the argument between Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva is not that radical. Ben Azai Omer be'esra v'tisha ba'adar. Number one, he says, I don't think it's prosa Pesach. I think it's the 29th day of Adar. Now, don't get confused. It's almost identical, right? The 29th day of Adar is about 2 weeks before Pesach. 15 days before Pesach is about the 29th day of Adar. So it sounds like he's arguing. In the meantime, when you actually think about it, you realize it's not such an argument. They're basically right around the same day. The Gemara will explain. There is an Akuna Machlokas. There is a point of contention. But as we read it right now, you realize it's about the same. Be'echad b'Sivan. Now, the first day of Sivan. Okay, now that's different. Because Rabbi Akiva says, pros Shavuos. 15 days before Shavuos. Shavuos falls down on the sixth day of Sivan. So 15 days beforehand would be approximately the 20th day of Iyar. Okay? And Ben Azai has it at the first day of Sivan, about 10 days later. Okay. Be'esrim v'tisha ba'av. And Ben Azai says the 29th day of Av. Okay, now that's different. Meaning because Rabbi Akiva says 15 days before Sukkot, which would of course be Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's a little bit strange. You're not doing Meiser Behema on Rosh Hashanah itself. We all understand that. So let's call the day before Rosh Hashanah. But Ben Azai goes back, way back. He goes back to the 29th day of Av. 29th day of Av is a full month and a half before Sukkot.
So he's not going to hold that. He's going to be of the opinion that Rosh Chodesh is not Elul, it's Tishrei, because then you're going to be one day away. In other words, you have a mission in Rosh Hashanah where, you know, is Rosh Chodesh, subject to Machlokes.
Right.
Right,
so he's going to, well, we're going to see later on. We're going to see exactly where Ben Azai stands on what's the hard date. Meaning, what's the new and what's the old. Okay, so that's a big discussion. That plays into this position very well. Okay, so far, we know we have three checkpoints. Let's make sure that we're all clear on the agreed information. We all know we have three checkpoints during the year. The checkpoints are basically to facilitate people buying animals going up to Yerushalayim for the Aliyah L'Regel. Good. When are those exact checkpoints? So Rabbi Kiva is easy to remember. For him, it's always 15 days before Yontif. Every one of three Yontifs, 15 days before. Ben Azai disagrees. As far as the one before Pesach is concerned, 29th day of Adar. Before Shavuos, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Before Sukkos, a month and a half before Sukkos, 29th day of Adar. Okay. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Be'echad B'Nisan, Be'echad B'Sivan, Be'chavtes Be'elo. A third opinion in the Mishnah. Three checkpoints, three opinions. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon says that as far as the Pesach checkpoint, so that's the first day of Nisan. Again, they're all right around the same day. Be'echad B'Sivan, that's just like Ben Azai. In other words, he agrees with Ben Azai. And Bechavtes Be'elol, and on the 29th day of Elol. Ve'alam Amr Be'esra Matisha Be'elol, ve'lo Amr Be'echa B'Tishrei. Mimneishu Yom Tov, v'yev shala aser be'yom tov. Zlaficha chiktimu Be'esra Matisha Be'elol. And why do we say the 29th day of Elol? Why can't we just simply say first day of Tishrei? So the Mishnah makes the point. First day of Tishrei, that's Rosh Hashanah. You can't do Maisa Behema on Rosh Hashanah. Interesting question. Why can't you do Maisa Behema on Rosh Hashanah? Okay, I don't think, had I not prepared for today, I don't think I would have gotten the answer right. Why can't you do Maisa Behema on Rosh Hashanah? There's no prohibition on counting on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, that's the answer. The answer is because the 10th animal that comes out, you got to mark it. And you got to, and it's a red marking on the animal. And on Yontif and on Shabbos, you're not allowed to color, you're not allowed to dye. And by marking it, so that's dying. And it's interesting because you could have made the argument, why can't you count it without dying? And apparently dying it, marking it, is an integral part of the mitzvah. And so, no, you can't count it on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Meir Omer Be'echa Be'elo Rosh Hashanah L'Maiser Behema. Benazi Omer, I'm sorry. So what's the hard date? Meaning these are the checkpoints. What's the hard date? So Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that on the first day of Elul, that's Rosh Hashanah L'Maaser. Okay. So he says that it's day one of Elul. So that means, according to Rabbi Meir, that animals that are born on Av and animals that are born in Elul are not to be combined with one another. I have five animals born in Elul, five animals born in Av. That's it. They're separate. They're not to be counted together. So that's not considered 10. That's considered 5 from last year, 5 from this year. And now we get to the opinion of Ben Azai. What's Ben Azai's hard date? 20. Confusing. Ben Azai says all animals that are born in Elul, they're kept separate. They don't go to last year, and they don't go to the upcoming year. Elul is an independent month. Anyone can figure out why? He is unsure what is Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema. Meaning, as we pointed out, it's a machlokas. Machlokas is the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. And Ben Azai simply cannot determine which one is the correct one. And so therefore, any animal that's born to Elul, for him, Safek possibly may belong to last year, may belong to the upcoming year, I don't know. And because of that, so Ben Azai says, you know what I do? Every animal that's born in Elul, I keep now in a third pen, a third holding pen. Meaning it's not last year's animals, it's not this upcoming year animals, it's Elul animal. Okay, because of that suffix. Okay.
Considered the next year.
He doesn't know. It's a suffix. He doesn't know. He doesn't know which year it belongs to.
So he gives the master only if...
For animals that are born in Elul, he has to have 10 animals born in Elul.
Otherwise he doesn't
do Maaser Behema on those animals. Now I gave you a simple version. Later this morning, I'm going to give you a little more complicated version of that statement. But right now, I gave it to you simple. The Mishnah goes on to explain, as to make sure that we understand. Any animal that's born on the first day of Tishrei until the 29th day of Elul, so hare elu mitzdarfin, so they combine. Five animals born before Rosh Hashanah do not combine. Now that's the hard date, right? That's the date which segregates Chadash from Yashan. What about your checkpoints? So as I explained in the introduction to the Mishnah, They are just checkpoints, right? They are recommended, but they are not absolutes. So the chamisha lifnei agoren, the chamisha la'achar agoren. Let's say you have five animals born before one checkpoint of the year, and five animals born after the checkpoint. Hare elu mitzarfin. So they combine. It's just a checkpoint. It's recommended. It is not. It does not create an absolute line in the sand. Huh? Only because we want to get to 10. The Mishnah is just interested in getting to the number 10. So five before and five after. So im kein lama nemru shalosh gornos lamaisa behema. So good. So if the checkpoint of the year, the three checkpoints of the year, don't really create anything, if they don't really divide, so then what's the point? But you know the answer already. I explained it in the introduction. But here the Mishnah says it. Look, because up until the checkpoint, you do whatever you want with the animals. Meaning, you want to shecht an animal before the checkpoint, go ahead. You want to sell an animal before the checkpoint, go ahead. But once the checkpoint comes around, whatever that checkpoint may be, depends on whether you follow like Rabbi Kiva or Ben Azai or Rabbi Elazar of the Mishnah. But whatever the checkpoint may be, once you get to a checkpoint, really all activity should stop. Don't shecht, don't sell. Now do Meister Behema, take off every 10th animal, and then continue. But the Mishnah points out, Imshachat Pater. Now, but what if you pass the checkpoint, and what if you shecht? Oh, it's okay, you'll be exempt. Meaning you didn't violate any Isser. The checkpoints are recommended times of the year that you stop, you count, you take out the 10th animal, and then you proceed. And again, as I explained, but you saw it in the Mishnah, it really has to do with Aliyah L'Regel. Maishna Tlas, three checkpoints of the year. What's the purpose of three checkpoints? Ama Rabba Barshila, Lakaba Chorfe, V'Afle, V'Kaite. There are basically three birthing seasons every year. There's the early birthing season, that's what the Gemara refers to as Chorfe. There's the Afle, Afela. You know what Afela means? Darkness, right? The late birthing season, and then kaite, and then there's the summer birthing season. For reasons that I don't understand, I'm not a farmer, right? The summer birthing season is not early, it's not late, it's different. That's summer. That's a summer birthing season. So the Gemara says, okay, but why specifically these dates? Meaning, I understand that they're birthing seasons, but there's a season, and then there's our Mishnah. And our Mishnah points to actual dates of the calendar. So Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Berei de Rabbi Chia, Ish Kfar Akko, Kedei Shetehe Behema Metsuya Le'ole Regalim. So here the Gemara says it. The reason why is because we want people to have animals for the Aliyah L'Regel. So people going up to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel, so that means that they're going to be visiting their local farm, and they're going to be buying their animals, so you know before Yontif, there's going to be now a need, a demand of animals. So therefore, the Chachamim realized this and said to the farmers, you know what? Checkpoint. 2 weeks before Pesach, take off Meister Behema. And so now, you're good to go. You'll sell the animals to the Aliyah L'Regel.
Because before that, they could not have sold the animal?
No, but the truth is you could. Meaning, even...
One of the masses before
there's no... Right. When it comes to grain, let's put it this way. When it comes to grain... Before you take off Trumas and Maestro, that grain is Usser.
Right.
It's Tevel. There's no real concept of Tevel when it comes to animals. Meaning this idea of Maestro Behema means that, yeah, you're supposed to count your animals over the course of the year. But they're not prohibited. Even after the checkpoint, the Mishnah says, they're not prohibited. These checkpoints are recommended times. And the reason why the Chachamim recommended it is because you know people are going to be buying your animals. So the Chachamim said, before all these transactions take place, now is a good time. Now is a good time to make sure that you take off Maisa Behema. And wait 1 second. Let me read one more line of Gemara because it'll really clear this up a little bit better. So Ashlo Igi Agar Mutalim Korvelish. I'm sorry. So Ve'af Agav did not Ashlo Igi Agar Mutalim Korvelish Chot. Now the Mishnah itself said that before the checkpoint comes around, you're allowed to sell animals. You're allowed to shecht animals. There's no real concept of tevel when it comes to animals, but still, nichale delis aved mitzvah b'mamone v'hadar lizve v'lechel. So the Gemara says, because people like doing mitzvahs with their money. Meaning, what happens if there wasn't a checkpoint? So then what would happen is somebody would come and say, I need an animal to go to Yerushalayim, and then good, and I sell them the animal. And that's it. In other words, that's opportunity lost. When I say opportunity lost, I mean mitzvah opportunity lost. Because you had a chance with this animal to do Maaser Behemah, but now you sold the animal. There's no prohibition to sell the animal. Now you sold the animal, so that's an opportunity lost. People like doing mitzvahs with their money. In this case, it has to be with your money. Once you sell it, you no longer have the opportunity to do the mitzvah. And so the Chachamim recognize this, and the Chachamim said, here we are, we're going to now provide checkpoints over the course of the year, so that coming now into every Yontif, people will have, A, fulfill the mitzvah of Maaser Behemah, and B, now be able to sell off these animals to the Ola Alei L'Regel. Because there's no prohibition. The Torah doesn't give a prohibition. There's no, right. In other words, if the Torah would have said that the animals are tevel, so then the Chachamim wouldn't need to do any of this. The Chachamim need to put these checkpoints in the course of the year simply because the Torah doesn't prohibit it. And so the Chachamim recognized, look, it's a mitzvah opportunity, and there's no prohibition if they miss the opportunity. So you know what? We want to encourage people to do this mitzvah. Is it a bittul asay to that degree? Interesting. I don't know how to gauge it in terms of that. Meaning not taking lulav and esrog, that's a bittul asay. You had a real mitzvah asay opportunity and you lost it. Is this the same? Oh, maybe.
You could get to a theoretical one, maybe. For example, let's say you had 18, 20, and now we sold it and now it's below 10, so now we can't do it all together.
Right, correct. In other words, he'll really lose the opportunity of Maaser Behemah. If he doesn't check, you know, if at the checkpoint he doesn't say, okay, let's stop, let's take inventory.
So what's the penalty for not taking lulav?
There's no punishment in the Torah. Right?
You lost
an opportunity. I don't know why. You hear a reluctancy on my part to equate the two, because over here, I don't know if the Torah really is, the imperative to take off Maaser Behemah is as strong as the imperative to take lulav and esrog. I'm not sure. It's something intuitive in me, and I'm not sure. I'm not expressing it well in terms of why. Yeah, in other words, once you count it now, these animals that you counted are, you know, totally free and clear, meaning...
Right, well, that's right, and the next day there's another one born.
So that's kept now in a separate pen, that's a new pen, those are the uncounted.
Even though they're the same year.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, the ones that you now counted, look, over the course of the year, you're going to end up taking inventory one way or another. It happens to be that the checkpoint is now a way to take stock of what's happening up until now and count up until now. Those that are counted, the nine that weren't set aside in Maaser Behemah, those are now just free and clear.
So, in some ways, that's a cool.
It's not going to, by the end of the year, it's a zero-sum game. By the end of the year, you're not going to gain or you're not going to lose.
If I have 19 and 19 and 19?
Right. If that's the scenario you're going to paint, you're right. Then those nine afterwards, it's interesting. I wonder, and I don't know the answer, meaning you counted nine, but you didn't have a tenth. Are those nine considered counted, or are they considered uncounted? I don't know.
You're supposed to count all your animals within that window, so you can't
right.
say, okay, I'm going to
hold. No, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I don't know. In other words, but if I knew the answer, so then I would, you know, I like that. Okay, back to the Gemara. We're on the top of the Amud, and the Gemara just now wants to know why does the Mishnah use a strange language to refer to these checkpoints? These checkpoints are Gorin. Gorin is produce. Gorin has nothing to do with animals. So, Ditav l'ka Gorin. So, as I mentioned back in the Mishnah, and here the Gemara says it straight out, the Chachamim like it. Like the analogy that it's like Tevel. But mind you, it's like Tevel. It's not real Tevel, as I explained back in the Mishnah. It's not like your grains. Your grains, before you take off Trumas and Maestros, those grains are prohibited. That's a real prohibition. You eat Tevel, it's a Chiv Misa. Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Here, these animals, before you count them, before you take off Maaser Behema, are not Tevel. But the Chachamim, when talking about these checkpoints, it calls it a Gorin. Because it wants to, like, it's like a tap on the shoulder, like, it's not real Tevel, but we like it. We're going to treat it like Tevel. Vekama pras. Now, Rabbi Kiva says, pros Pesach, pros Shavuos, and pros Achag. What's pros? So you all know the answer because I said it back in the Mishnah, but here the Gemara says it. Pirush Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, in pros Pachos mitas vav yom, it's no less than 15 days. My mashma, Rabbi Abba, pros Palga. Because the word pros means Palga. Right? You'll see throughout the Gemaras whenever we talk about breaking bread. Right? Pares. Literally, what do you think the term comes from? In other words, well, let's break bread together. Back in the good old days, whenever that was, so they actually broke bread. That was the mitzvah.
Kedei achilas pras,
right? The amount to eat a pras. Pras is a broken piece. Right? It's not a Shabbos halacha. We always think of it like a Shabbos halacha. That really, when you make motzi, you should be making motzi on a full loaf, and then afterwards you should be breaking the bread. It's really that's aliba de hilchasa. According to the Gemara, that's the way that you're supposed to make a bread. Now, in other words, we have sliced bread. You know, the greatest invention. I never understood that. Okay, so we have sliced bread, so we don't, you know, we're not in touch, we're not in tune with this halacha, but the halacha is that really should be making motzi over a full loaf, and then be porous, and then break the bread. Okay, so my mashma. So, I'm Rabbi Abba, pros palga. Palga de my palga de hilchas pesach. Now, we're obviously splitting a unit, meaning we're saying half a unit. What's the unit? So the Gemara explains, very simple. The unit is the amount of time you need to study the laws of Pesach. And that is 30 days. Half of 30 is 15. Okay, the Gemara says, Hilchos Pesach, Yehad Detayin Shalom, V'darshim Hilchos Pesach, Chodin Lam Pesach Lam Yom. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amar Shtei Shabbosos. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's 15 days. Okay, 2 weeks, 15 days. Okay, but we're going to assume like the Tanna Kamma that the unit is 30, half of a unit, 15 days. Now, we're back to the Mishnah. There are three checkpoints of the year. So Rabbi Akiva, he's easy. 15 days before Pesach, before Shavuos, before Chag. Now we get to Ben Azai. So the first checkpoint of Ben Azai is the 29th day of Adar, which is really 15 days before Pesach, which prompts the Gemara to ask, Ben Azai Omer Bechavtes Ba'adar Be'echa Be'sivan. So B'mai Kamifligi Rabbi Akiva Ben Azai. Rabbi Akiva Savar, Adar Hasamach Lenisan, Zimnen male v'zimnen chaser. Zimnen demikla b'yom lamed, v'zimnen demikla b'chavtes. O'mishum hachi lo kvi aleim. Now, without going into calendar talk, I happen to really like calendar talk. Okay, it makes me odd in that regard. But without going into calendar talk, before the calendar was fixed, and this is well after Rabbi Kiva and Ben Azai, and, you know, calendar was fixed 3rd century. So we've only had a fixed calendar for about 1,700 years. Okay? But before the calendar was fixed, so everything was negotiable. Not everything, but a lot of things were negotiable. Are we going to have this month a full month or a 29-day month or a 30-day month? Okay, and there are a lot of variables, and it depends. And you know, you can ask me any time about it. I happen to like this talk, but just for now, just to keep it simple, Rabbi Kiva says that Adar can go either way. It could be Malay or it could be Chaser. It could be 29 days or it could be 30 days. So he can't give you a date in Adar because, simply put, it fluctuates. So how are you going to know? So he's going to give you a marker going backwards from Pesach, 15 days before Pesach. Sometimes it'll be day 29 of Adar. Sometimes it'll be day 30 of Adar because Adar is sometimes Malay, sometimes Chaser.
It's always going to be
I mean, it'll be the. In other words, no, 15 days before Pesach. Let's leave it like that. What happens when there's another base? Okay, so maybe his day changes. So Uben Azai Savar Adar Samach Nisan LaOlam Chaser. Now Ben Azai says no. The Adar that comes before Nisan is always going to be Chaser. Hilchak Kvila Isman B'Chavtes Ba'Adar. And since it's always going to be Chaser, so therefore it's a constant for him. Adar doesn't fluctuate. Adar is always going to be Chaser, so therefore he just simply points to the 29th day of Adar and says, that's 15 days before Pesach.
Isn't there a story where a Maisa
It's funny. In Rosh Hashanah, it's the same story by Elul.
Yeah.
Right? The same debate takes place by Elul. Is Elul always chaser? No, sometimes Elul chaser, sometimes malay. It's one of those debates. It's hard to understand, meaning they were living in times where, you know, they established Rosh Chodesh. So, and there are a lot of variables, and there was a little bit of manipulation on the part of Beis Din. I'm not saying in a bad way. I'm saying in a good way, meaning they massaged the numbers, as was necessary. So, Adar, in other words, you can have witnesses coming and, you know, and declaring the month, but if Beis Din felt it necessary, they would say no. Adar's coming out to be a short month. It's a chaser. How do you understand this machlokas? I don't fully have my head wrapped around it. All right, well, I'll tell you what. We'll discuss it after. I'm open to discussion. But okay, right for now, that's the way the Gemara presents the machlokas. Now we move to the next checkpoint. So what did Rabbi Akiva say 15 days before Shavuos? What did Ben Azai say 6 days before Shavuos, otherwise known as Rosh Chodesh Sivan? So that's your second checkpoint. So what's the why? Why does Ben Azai disagree? So bechavtas ba'adar be'echa b'sivan id. Yeah, I'm sorry. Be'echa b'sivan. I did the lo nefishe iamar liktam leyasa adamati rego shamalahu. So Ben Azai, it's a pragmatic consideration. Look, you just took off before Pesach. You just did your first checkpoint. So now you're basically going now from the first day of Nisan to what? To now the middle of Iyar, or not the middle, but 2/3 of the way through Iyar. You're not gonna have a lot of animals between them. So what he did, Ben Azai, is he pushed the checkpoint ahead so that there'd be more time between checkpoint number one and checkpoint number two, so that you'll have a chance, an opportunity for more animals to be born. Okay? And for whatever reason Rabbi Akiva disagrees, he feels that no, you don't need to make that cushion. Bechavtes Bav, now we move to the third checkpoint. So Ben Azai Latam Adama Halula Mitasra Mifni Atman. So Ben Azai says, remember Rabbi Kiva says 15 days before Chag, before Sukkot, which is Rosh Hashanah. And Ben Azai says, no, 29th day of Av. Thank you. 29th day of Av, the month of Av. So this is Ben Azai L'shita. So what did Ben Azai say about all those animals born in Elul?
Separate.
Because he didn't know. So V'liyasru B'yom Lamed. So the Gemara says, why doesn't he say the 30th day of Av?
That's incongruent with Ben Azai, because he was actually, when he limits on the field, he's going to decrease an eligible number of animals, whereas he was trying to expand
in your mind, you have to realize that checkpoints are just checkpoints. As opposed to the Rosh Hashanah, that's not a checkpoint, that's a hard date. And Ben Azai doesn't know, he's unsure what exactly that hard date is. It's either the first day of Elul or the first day of Tishrei. So all those Elul animals are kept separate because he didn't know. It's more than just a checkpoint.
Wasn't it universally accepted? It was first of
Nope. Machlokas. It's Machlokas and Mishnah Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
And Ben Azai does not know which one to go with. Okay? So, b'yom lama zimnan d'mechasri leil. I'm sorry. So the Gemara just has one small question. How come he doesn't say the 30th day of Av? So the Gemara's answer is zimnan d'mechasri leil av v'inu l'me'avid hekera b'chodesh v'yashan. Because Av is not always a Malay. Av is sometimes a Chaser. So therefore he says the 29th day of Av. Because if he said the 30th, sometimes the 30th now becomes the first day of Elul, and that's no good. Because first day of Elul now is no longer Yashan, that's now Chadash. Okay. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Armin, Be'echa, Benizam, Be'echa, B'Sivan. And now we get to the third opinion of the Mishnah. Right? There are three checkpoints of the year, and there are three opinions in the Mishnah, what exactly those checkpoints are. Be'echa ben Nisan, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So first of all, he says the first day of Nisan, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Damar Be'i Shabbosos, because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, when is the time you start learning Hilchos Pesach? First day of Nisan. Be'echa ben Sivan kedamaran. Now his second checkpoint of the year is the first day of Sivan, because he likes that cushion between the first checkpoint and the second checkpoint. Meaning had the second checkpoint be backed up 15 days before Shavuos, you are really condensing the amount of time between checkpoint A and checkpoint B, so therefore he pushes checkpoint B a little bit ahead in the calendar. And bechavtes be'elul Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Latamai, Dam, Rabbi Echa, B'tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, L'maisa, Behema. And this is nothing more than Rabbi Lazar being consistent, because Rabbi Lazar says that the first day of the new fiscal year for animals is Echa B'tishrei, the first day of Tishrei. So for him, you're going to go 29th day of Elul as being the last checkpoint of the year. Now he gives the reason. Why don't we, instead of saying the 29th day of Elul, why don't we say the first day of Tishrei? And his answer was, well, you can't take Maaser Behem off on Yontif. Why not give an easier answer? Meaning, before we get to the Yontif issues, in other words, the first day of Tishrei is a hard date. Meaning, that is the new fiscal year for Maaser Behem. That's a much more fundamental issue. I know.
Why don't people don't bring any sacrifices in particular for?
But we're not talking about bringing sacrifices. We're just simply talking about earmarking. This is not. It's not being brought as a carbon. It's just being earmarked. So chadavot kamar. So the Gemara says correct. Meaning, your point is valid, and the Mishnah's point. They're both valid points. Chad debein lamevet heker bechash v'yasha. Number one, you can't do it on the first day of Tishrei because the first day of Tishrei now is the new fiscal year. Plus, v'od mimneshu yantav yevshal asa b'yantav mishum sikrata. And here the Gemara says, why can't I take off Maaser Behem on yantav? Because it's going to require you to paint the 10th animal red, and that's Soveya, and Soveya is one of the malachas that you cannot do on Shabbos or on yantav. Rabbi Meir Omer be'echad be'elo Rosh Hashanah l'Maaser Behem ben Azai Tanya. Amar ben Azai hova alalo omrim kach v'alalo omrim kach ha'alula mit asrin le'atzman. Here we have a brisa, and this brisa, this is going to get interesting. The brisa says Ben Azai just simply didn't know. Meaning, when is the Rosh Hashanah l'maaser behema? So again, the first mission Rosh Hashanah brings down a machlokis, and Ben Azai looks in both directions, and he simply throws his arms up in the air, and he says, I don't know. I don't know what to do. So Ben Azai says, you know what? I'm just going to simply say, the month of Elul now is going to be kept an independent month for Maaser Behema. Why? I don't know if Elul belongs to last year. I don't know if Elul is belonging to the new year. So therefore, I'm going to leave myself off in a perpetual state of suffix. Now listen to this. This is interesting. Why doesn't Ben Azai just figure it out? Meaning, you have a machlokis in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. You have two opinions, so why doesn't Ben Azai simply analyze, think about it, and just come to a conclusion in terms of which one is more logical, which one makes more sense? In other words, the Gemara just looks at Ben Azai and says, okay, but Paskin, you know, I understand it's a machlokus, but arrive at a conclusion. Right? You must love it. So the mamistab v'chite malamati kaita mayhu, and the Gemara makes an interesting suggestion. Well, maybe Ben Azai just is not smart enough. maybe he can't figure it out. So the Gemara says v'hatanya. So the Gemara says, but that's not true. Ben Azai omer kol chachmi yisrael domen alai keklipas hashum. You know, I look around, says Ben Azai, I know this is going to sound arrogant, and I'm going to try to say over the Gemara so it doesn't come out that way. But the Gemara is just making a point right now, and that is Ben Azai is a smart guy. It will sound a little bit arrogant. I don't know. You know, when you read Gemara, when I read Gemara, it's important to give proper tone, and you know that's always going to be a struggle. You really have to give it the right tone. So Domin alike klipas hashum. I look around, all these chachamim around me, they're like peels of a garlic. You know, like, you know, the stuff you throw away. Yeah, it's light. It's, you know, it's the part that goes away. Chutz min hakareach hazeh. You know, the only exception is that bald one. Yeah, that bald one, he's a smart guy. So with exception to him, though, I look around, klipas hashem. So now I'll get to the kareach in just a moment, right? We'd all like to know who he is. Give me a moment. I'll come back to that. So Amar Rav Yochanan mipi Hashmua Amrua mipi Chagai Zechariah Malachi. And listen to this. And the Gemara says, so, remember now, what's bothering the Gemara so much? Let Ben Azai figure it out. And it's not for lack of smarts, because he's smart. He looks around and everyone else is klipas hashum. So Ben Azai, don't leave yourself in a state of suffix. Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. I know it's a machlokas, but come on, Ben Azai. You're a smart guy. You should figure it out. And the answer the Gemara gives is, you know why he can't figure it out? Because it's mipi hashmu amru, mipi chagaz acharya malache. This comes to us via Nevi'im. It's prophetic. Now, the Rosh Hashanah from Maisa Behema is divrei Nevi'is. It's prophecy. Now, did everyone notice, by the way, there are two Rashis now on the right side of the page? Yeah, that happened yesterday. It was an event that happened that I didn't point out yesterday. Somebody got a hold of his second version of Rashi. I say somebody, I mean one of the Rishonim. And this goes back. Somebody got a hold of a second version of Rashi, and so therefore the editors of the Gemara did not want to take a side on the issue. So therefore they put in both editions of Rashi. So we have the top Rashi, and we have what's called Rashi Ksav Yad. Right? just like we are right now. The state of Suffolk of which one's the correct Rashi. But anyway, if you look at the Rashi Ksav Yad, he writes, what is it? What is the Gemara's answer? It's Divrei Nevi'is. Velo Nikar Tam Hagalui. Meaning just like when a Navi says something, he says it and we don't understand, why are you saying that? Here also, from Ben Azai's standpoint, the two positions that are taken, what's the new fiscal year of Maaser Behema? To him, it was Divrei Nevi'is. It was as if a prophet said it. Meaning, I just simply don't understand what's behind it. Okay? It was prophecy. Okay, we're short on time. I'm comforted by the fact that the last day of the, is a half a day, really, Shabbos. It's an Amud. I do want to spend a couple really good minutes talking about who the Kereach is. Okay? But now as I says, I look around and I see people and they're all to me like a like Klipas Hashem except for the Kereach. Now everyone in their mind has a good idea of who the Kereach is, right? Okay. Look, take a look at Tosfos. So he quotes Rashi, Perusha Kuntres Hein Rabbi Akiva. It's the Kereach is Rabbi Akiva, who lived in the same generation, Ben Azai, so historically it works out. And every time we mention Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha, Rav Yehoshua, the son of the Kereach, we are referring to Rav Yehoshua ben Osha, Rabbi Akiva. That's Rav Yehoshua, son of Rabbi Akiva. Now, Vikasha. Now, the question, which I'm sure everyone's wondering, but really bothers me, is that's how we talk about Rabbi Akiva? Right, the... The Gemara in a number of places, Gemara in Megillah, notably, that comes to my mind, a number of places says that you're not allowed to give people nicknames. Right? It's not proper, it's not appropriate. Onaz Devarim, it's...
But I think he compared everybody else to the Pilzonian anyway. I mean, he was like trying to be condescending to everybody, not just...
Right, so, Misani Leila Hasker Rabbi Akiva, I mean, now I'm just reading Tosfos. Misani Leila Hasker Rabbi Akiva, B'shmosha Maskir B'lashem Genai. Like, that's the way he talks about Rabbi Akiva. He refers to him as a Kereach. Ki dechsev, alei Kereach. Right, Allah Kereach. Right, the story of Malachim. Right, about who is the Navi who was bald? Was it Elisha? Right, No. I think it was Elisha, where someone pointed to him and said, oh, look, here's the bald one. And the bears come out and the right,
yeah.
Okay. So ala kareach of the perak shoal amrina mehacha la karchino kama velignai iskaven and the, you take a look at another Gemara in Shabbos and over there again being when you refer to someone as a kareach, it's pejorative, it's derogatory, and so that's how Ben Azai is talking about Rabbi Akiva. Of Meseches Megillah, Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Bamei Arech Yamin Va'Amalo, Rabbi Berach Nivamalo Yiratzon Shemegillah Chatzi Sheni. Now, and to identify Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha as Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Rabbi Akiva, that's also difficult because we see a Gemara in Megillah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is getting a blessing from whom? From Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Now, I only have a couple minutes left. I don't even have that. But listen to this. This is interesting. Ilu Rabbi Kiva Kishanasa Bas Kalba Shavua Ben Mem Shana. Rabbi Kiva, how old was he when he got married? 40. Hayav Kiva, alav lasok betor v'asok memshanim memshanim parnas Yisrael. Next 40 years he learned. 40 years after that, he was a leader, a Jewish leader. Okay, the 120 years of Rabbi Kiva's life. Over Sifri, Tanya, and then he quotes the Sifri, and over there in the Sifri it says, Dalet Chayukuf Chavshana. Four people lived 120 years. They are Moshe. I only get two out of the four, but I got Tosos now. Moshe, Hillel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Rabbi Akiva. Four people lived to 120 years of age. Over Yom Shemes Rabbi Akiva, Nolad Rebbe. Now we also have a Mesorah that the day that Rabbi Akiva died is the day that Rebbe, as in Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, was born. Right? Yeah. Shenasa baskalba savua lohaya ki im shmonim kishenolad Rebbe. So that means now how old Rabbi Akiva, who was married, so that means now that if you want to assume that he had a son the year that he married his wife, so that means that his son would have been 80 years of age at the birth of Rebbe.
But the thing is, that didn't Rabbi Akiva also marry like the emperor's wife also later?
Right, you're right. Tosus is making a couple of assumptions over here and trying to present us this timeline. But it's such an interesting timeline. I just for more than anything else, I just like looking at generationally where does everyone belong. So Rabbi Kivo now. So you're now ulechol apachos haya Rabbi Yeshua ben kuf mem shana kishabirch Rabbi. So now you're basically. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha presents himself to Rebbe and asks for a bracha, he's got to be, right, 80 plus, right, 80 years of age plus, what does he give him? He gives him another 60 years on top of that, right, 80 plus another 60 years, right, so that's 140. Kishabirich Rebbe debepachos me'ayin shana lohaya mevarcho. Shein chayish no stam adam. Dichsiv now... A person generally lives, right? No one take this the wrong way, but a person generally lives 70 years. Kedichsiv yemeshno seno ayim shana, v'az haya Rebbe ben shishim shana nimtza kishabarcho leigia l'chatzi yamav lo bircho rak yud shanim. And then he says, I give you a bracha that you live another 10 more years. Ma bracha, haisazu. That's a strange bracha. I hope you live another 10 more years. Anyway, So to call the Kereach Rabbi Akiva and to call Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha the son of the Kereach, the son of Rabbi Akiva, and then to have Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha standing in front of Rebbe, who was only born after the death of Rabbi Akiva, so Tosfos says from a timeline perspective, it's just difficult. It's really difficult to put all that together. Tosfos ends up saying that it is referring to somebody else. Rabbi Natan says, I don't know who it's referring to. But it's not Rabbi Akiva, based on all the information I just presented to you. Okay, interesting timeline of Tosfos. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.